Okay, indeed, it is that entertainment, and hopefully you'll stick around with us for the next hour. We want your views and commentary on stuff you're watching, stuff you're listening to, reading, watching on stage, big screen, small screen, whatever. We're in the company this week of a man who finished third in the 2018 Letterkenny Michael Leddy lookalike competition. It is Michael Leddy. Hi.
Hello, Greg.
Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
And also by Dahi Ramsey, manager of On Green on Theatre Letterkenny. Interesting fact, massive pigeon fancier. Good morning, Dahi.
Morning, Greg. How are
Racing
you?
Racing pigeons, tumblers. You have them all.
Where did you find that out? It's spooky, like.
You've been trying to bring a little bit of.
You've been hacking my phone messages.
I have indeed.
It was the real you, the real Dahi.
Yeah, so exactly. We might dig into that a little bit later in the show. I don't think we will, however. Dahi, thank you very much for sitting in. Good morning to you. How are you keeping?
I'm very well. Very well. Couldn't be better.
All going well at the theatre?
Yeah, we've been very busy. Panto week, obviously. And Trad Week's going on as well. So very busy, very good. Great to see everyone back.
Good audience participation. Lots of people out and about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everyone's back. It's great. It's great to see it. Yeah.
Good stuff. It's a great to have that facility on our doorstep. More your doorstep than mine, but be that as it may. Michael, True Detective is back. This is going to, well, so many people talking about it, and I'm probably not going to watch it for a year or two.
Yes.
But you have watched how many episodes now?
I've watched one of the two episodes.
And you hadn't last week?
I had not last week.
Okay, so what was your what's your views?
I was really looking forward to this because I was a huge fan of season one, the Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson season from 2014. Hard to believe it's 10 years, but it's 10 years since that first season. And this has been a troubled franchise for various reasons. Season two failed to catch fire with viewers and critics.
Yeah.
And there were creative changes behind the scenes. The original person behind the show is no longer involved, although that person did have ideas for season four, but then went, I was reading up on it this morning, and disappeared off and got a contract with Fox or FX to do a completely different thing. So this is a fresh start. And Jodie Foster is the big deal about season four because, a very big movie star from a few decades past, a long career. I remember her watching her in a 1970s half-hour comedy drama called Paper Moon with Christopher Connolly. She took over from Tatum O'Neill, and Christopher Connolly took over from Ryan O'Neill, and it was a series about a con man driving around the old South in the 1930s with this adorable waif, orphan waif, and that was Jodie Foster. And then she went on to do movies or whatever. So this is the big thing about, you know, having her in a TV series and bringing her in for these six episodes, the shorter season this year.
I think the days when sort of a actor doing something like this, it being seen as a backward step, are over now.
Oh, yeah, big time, absolutely. Yeah, even like take Matthew McConaughey as a perfect example. I mean, that was somebody who definitely was a kick for his career in the right direction. I mean, he said that himself. It was a big thing. So I was very excited for this. And the story gets us up and running straight away. We are in Alaska, and we're in that time of the year. Fernanda mentioned this last week, where it's dark for like months on end. The sun does not rise. And some scientists in a research facility vanish into the night.
Mm-hmm.
And Jodie Foster is one of the detectives on the case.
And so what's her baggage?
Her baggage is that she's raising a teenager or late teens girl who is not her biological daughter, from what I could figure out from the first episode. Yeah. And on her own.
Yeah, and she's been a hotshot detective, and she's been kind of she's in this backwater.
Yes, she's kind of been shoved to this place, like in the far north, because there is a town quite near. Not quite near, but within a radius of the research facility. And there's a cold case that is going to bear relevance to the main case.
I've seen something like this before. I presume that's a reference to it, is it?
Yes. They find, I won't say too much, but they find something at the crime scene that makes one person think, oh, this is like that case 5 years ago. So there's a thing going on there. So I was very excited about this. And I have to say, and the critics have embraced it big time. I mean, checking my notes here, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's almost universal acclaim. 67% from audiences. And I did not enjoy the first episode at all.
Why?
Because the storytelling for me was quite lazy. They had a great hook.
But they're trying to drag it over.
Six episodes, yeah. I agree, yeah. The hook at the start pulled me in, and then they stopped talking about the missing scientists. They were like, oh, can you believe that that happened? Anyway, let's get back to traffic detail. And that bugged the hell out of me. And I had other issues with regard to the detective, and this one now is probably going to be quite controversial, but this is my take on it. She arrives at the crime scene, and there's like, in order to make her seem super smart, they've written the other lead male detective as being a doofus, which is something you see on everything. Matlock
fine in Scream, but maybe
yeah.
not in
Yeah, in he's like, well, I don't think anything's wrong here. They probably just all stepped out.
Are you sure that's not reflective of the police force in...
Alaska? Oh, mate, you're getting controversial now. You'll be getting in the text messages
from Alaska.
You'll
be all right. I'll take my chance.
But her skill set, and this is what really bugged me about it early on, she looks around and she looks at a sandwich and she says, no, that mayonnaise on that sandwich, that's been like that for 48 hours. And then she walks around and she's like, oh... The washing, that washing's been left in that washing machine for at least 48 hours could start to stink. So her skill set coming into the crime scene are, she's a housewife, she's a mother, she's a woman. It's like she can only solve this case. Because
oh, I
she
see know, now where
she,
you're going with that.
She
okay,
can make yeah. sandwiches and she can do washing.
You see,
and she
are you sure you're not too edgy? Go ahead, Dahi, come on.
Can I just say,
as well.
I've watched two episodes.
Okay.
I'm really liking it. So opposite there. And... I think they set the character up. That's what they do in a first episode. So she's a mother, but she's a crack detective. That's where I'm seeing that, you know? And they're just establishing the character.
What about the
I'm really
the,
liking it.
Just the easiest way to describe the gender roles, like dumb fella, woman can use housewife background to solve crime. I'm not paraphrasing you, okay? But let's just say that's it. Do you recognize that?
Yeah, a bit. But I mean, you know, are there any new stories to be told? Or are there any new setups?
Here's
you know
a
what
question.
I mean? Kind of, it's how well you do it.
Yeah.
But there's also in this, there's a Native American or First Nations element going on. Because obviously we're in Alaska. There's, you know, original
the original people there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, are there. So there's that. And there's a bit of a supernatural suggestion.
Yeah, that was mentioned last week. Yeah.
Yeah, whether that continues or not, I don't know.
That bugged me too. Come on, it was so unsubtle. Like, I mean, there was full-on ghosts walking around. No?
But where does that end up? Do you know what I mean? Where are they going with it? Yeah. I think until...
I think to some extent, Michael, and you're perfectly equipped to correct me if I'm wrong, is that you kind of went into this expecting something and it's not fitting into...
Yes.
Kind of what you hoped it might
be. Yeah, I wanted
rather
a procedural,
than watching
yeah.
this completely fresh and sort of it,
going,
actually, this is something a little bit... Do you think maybe you went in there hoping for just a procedural cop
I think,
show
yeah.
that was cool
it,
and
I wanted
dark
a procedural cop show. And one thing, one of the critics who raved about it, I want to ask this today, one of the critics I read this morning who raved about it said, it's Lynchian. It's like David Lynch made this. I don't like David Lynch or Twin Peaks. But Dahi, do you think there's a David Lynch thing in this?
I'm a massive David Lynch fan.
Now we're getting down to the critical points here.
I don't need everything wrapped up. I don't need everything.
I do.
You know, I like things left to the imagination. I like your own interpretation being there. I'm not sure it is that Lynchian. I get what they're saying, I guess, that they're sort of hanging this supernatural possibility out there.
Mm-hmm. That would mean to be a no-go. That would I'd steer away from that.
Well,
I would prefer it to be
not,
more...
But it might
I know,
not be that.
Yeah, I know.
I think
but,
with the... Yeah. It's interesting, with the First Nations, they like to do that because Dark Winds is a great detective
Dying
series.
To start that.
Yeah. Set on a reservation that I watched in two seasons. I'd highly recommend it. And they do sort of, because of the religion and the spirituality of... the First Nations people in America, they do like to leave those things sort of in there as possibilities, as ideas, you know.
It's tipping,
that makes
it's
no a, sense. I get that. I do. I
referencing
actually,
that stuff. Yeah. But to a global audience, maybe people might feel that they're being fed that when they're not interested in it, but there's boxes to be ticked.
Mm. But maybe it comes back.
But I,
maybe
see,
it's not.
But you see, but when I see audience scores versus... critic scores, the critics get that and think about that and appreciate it and want it.
Yeah.
But what the audience want is what the audience want.
Yeah.
And I think that's often why we see this discrepancy between... Yeah. But anyway, so far out of 10 for you, Dahi, or anything else you want to add to it? Sorry, because you've watched two episodes.
I'm probably giving it an 8 at the moment.
Okay, that's very
you
positive.
Know, so far, yeah.
I think you need to wait and see the second episode.
4 or 5 at the moment.
Yeah,
and I'll
exactly.
be honest, there's so many other things I may not get to episode two. I'll think long and hard about it, but...
So much of the stuff I get you. And that's, that's on those two. I watched, at the start of the week, American Nightmare on Netflix. It's a documentary, and I like documentaries when they're done very well, and this one is done very well. I would recommend people watch. It's a really interesting story.
What's it about?
It is about what I would say to anyone who is watching American Nightmare is don't even read the two lines that Netflix have put up about
it. Oh, I know.
Because if you watch it without that, it's in three parts, and it all makes sense. It's like, wow, okay, you know what I mean? Now, if you do read that and watch it, you'll still enjoy it. But it's just the way it's designed not to have those two lines describing it, because there's reveals at the end of each episode. Okay, but anyway, there's a home invasion in America in 2015 or something like that. There, the fellas in the house, he says, "I was tied up, my girlfriend was kidnapped, and they want a ransom, and I had to follow these instructions." But from the get-go, it's very clear that the police think he's just making all of this.
Oh, okay. That does sound intriguing.
And it's around about the time Gone Girl was released as well. So the media jump on this. And I don't want to say any more about it. But it's in three
but
parts.
That's intriguing.
It's very easy to consume. There's great access to the characters involved. And there's people might be put off by the tranche of documentaries that are just talking heads, cheapest documentaries you could ever make. But this one is really, really quite good. It's got access to all the key players, interview footage, police cam footage, you know, that kind of stuff. American Nightmare. If any of you out watch that, everyone out there watch that, let us know what you think. 086 60 25,000. Hi, Greg. My favourite show on Sunday is back, Trigger Point. I think I watched the first episode of that. I thought it was okay.
No, not seen it.
Could you please... I just want to say this. Hi, Greg. Just want to say good luck to Donegal on Sunday. Hope we see great Donegal support. Get behind Jim and the boys. Love seeing the flags from supporters. Yes, indeed. And in terms of who will turn up, I'd say there'll be a big crowd because they'd 5,000 odd for the McKenna Cup. It is a big game. It's Cork. It's Division 2. And it's live here on Highland Radio as well. I believe it's 1:45 throw-in. I'm doing that off the top of my head, though. Right, we're in the company of Dahi Ramsey, manager of On Green on Theatre Letterkenny, Michael Letty, writer and blogger. Mixed views on True Detective. What are you watching out there? What do you want us to talk about? 086 60 25,000. Back with more from the guys after the... G'day, Greg and TV Treats. Did you know today is Australia Day? No, I didn't. Looks like a case of no can do. Was Margot and Greta thrown on the Barbie, if you catch my drift? Fair dinkum, totally Betty, star got one. That reminds me of Saw Poor Things. It's a wonderful, wacky, Irish-directed film that deserves the nominations, especially the always enthusiastic Emma Stone. But Greg, didn't you say once the litmus test would be, would Fionnuala take her granny to see it? But no fears on the holdovers, as it was a fantastic watch, no doubt. Will be a festive fave, considering it snowed days after watching it. Kevin in Dunlow. Thanks, Kevin. Pun Central, appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed, Kevin.
That was brilliant.
Indeed,
I enjoyed the first part of that.
All right, Aideen Doherty's manager of Donegal Film Office and joins us on the programme now. Hi, Aideen.
Hi, Greg.
It's a bumper year, 2024, isn't it, for films with a Donegal connection coming to the big screen in this year. And this is the culmination, obviously, of years of work behind the scenes, getting them here, getting them shot, getting them filled and getting them ready for release. But great for Donegal.
Yeah, it's incredible. We've had a really good year last year with almost 9.2 million of an investment into the county and local spend. And when you add the multiplier, it brings it into a whole other level. So we've been delighted with the, the activity and what's been going on. And hopefully we'll see all of them, you know, being screened this year across various different platforms. And thankfully, 24 is kicking off well again.
And it is amazing success, not least down to your office. But do you think we need to build on this now in a more sort of coordinated way? And I'm sure everything is done really professionally, don't get me wrong, and it's all there. But is it in a way that it is more attractive or more accessible for people thinking of shooting in this part of the world?
I think that what has been happening, I suppose, is that we've kind of been almost sitting in a space where things have been coming to us and we haven't been chasing work down. And in recent times, the ecosystem within the county is growing and developing all the time, and people are returning to the county and saying, you know, we should need to be doing for ourselves. not least in the development of Errigal Studios with the team that are behind the Boffey. And they're pushing into that space. And thankfully, that's moving forward at pace. And I suppose really what the intention behind that is that that's exactly what we do, is that we are in a space where we're able to attract a different type of product, the same types of products, and that we're also able to expand the offering into things like commercials and TV dramas and documentaries that we probably, and in the XR field, that we probably haven't been doing to the extent that we could be. And it's creating that cluster, creating an idea that you would have the opportunity to build something meaningful in this county, and that you'd be able to retain talent, that you'd be able to develop that talent, and that you'd also be able to create jobs. And Greg, the jobs that are in this space are generally paid about 27% higher income than the average in Ireland. So they're high-end jobs, they're really good quality jobs, and then in turn that, you know, is extended into the local economy where people are living here and being able to spend their money here.
Yeah, because we can demonstrate that we can demonstrate, I suppose, individually that we have it all. We have the extras when they come up here. You know, we've got the yes. equipment that's required. We've got the accommodation, clearly, obviously. We've got the scenery. We've got the supports in there. And it's just, I suppose, having that in a so that it's marketable in that. I mean, it's all there. It's just a case of making sure we maximise the market for it.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And I think that it's also about retaining the capability that's in the region. I mean, an awful lot, because it's sporadic and the work is sporadic to a greater or lesser extent, and we're dependent on servicing the industry at the moment. And that's really, it's a bit like a servicing a car. We're not building the cars. So we want to build it from the centre out, if that makes sense. And, you know, really, we've been very lucky because the likes of the Cry from the Sea or Four Letters of Love, when you have the likes of, you know, some of the talent that has been around that, you know, you have Piers Brosnan putting up at the end of the year last year his best year photographs, and that includes one of Donegal, him standing on a beautiful beach in Donegal and remembering the great time that he had there. You know, that film tourism piece is hugely important. Dominic Cooper doing a piece for us on Love Donegal Day where he said, "It's Gralam Donegal, Ask Gaelic." You know, those kind of things you can't sell. And that just goes round the world as being, you know, incredible from a Donegal perspective.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We know the value of it from that point of view. And you're right, we have everything there that's needed, but we do need to build that and retain that talent then that is here. We want to be able to say to people, like, you know, if you're coming back to Donegal, you can stay here and we legitimately can provide you with enough work to keep you sustained.
Yeah,
and that's really what we want to try and do.
So
and alongside that, I suppose, is then...
Yeah, go ahead, Aideen. Alongside that, what?
No, just building the talent then and allowing young people to have made the decision that they're going to take a chance on this, is that then they are, as I say, they're learning the skills, they're getting the opportunity to do the training in their own county, and they're getting the opportunity then to work and develop that skill set within the county.
Some of the films, Cry from the Sea, like can you, the five films that are coming out, Cry from the Sea, who's involved in that?
So Cry from the Sea is Sarah Gaydon, Sarah Bulger, Aidan Quinn and Dominic Cooper. Dominic Cooper is of ABBA fame. And Aidan Quinn would have been here before and would have been in, you know, the previous film was made here by the same company, A Shine of Rainbows, which really did catapult Donegal into a different space, I suppose, from this perspective. And then in Four Letters of Love is Helena Bonham Carter, Piers Brosnan and Gabriel Byrne. And again, they're huge films from our perspective. And then we had Fiddle Gorham, which is a lovely film that was made here locally, Ask Gaeilge, and that's Barry McGovern, Siobhan O'Kelly. And Saoirse Ó Olc then is currently being shot in Gweedore, and delighted that we have our own line producer on that film, Eileen Rafferty. It's amazing that we have somebody now in the county that's in a head of department situation. And we also have a huge amount of local talent. There's a wonderful fellow there called Eric Sweeney, who's the locations manager. And Eric trained on other films that were in the county under a fellow called Gordon Witchley, who's one of the top locations managers in Ireland. And now he's able to step up into that space and develop that skill set within his own county.
All
and
right.
Those types of things, you can't buy that.
And Aideen, finally, I think I've probably got more chance of getting your bank account details than any firm details on what's coming up, because you have to be so secretive. But the conveyor belt, if I could put it like that there, Are we seeing, you know, some consistency in inquiries on new projects and what have you?
I think that one of the things that will happen this year, I mean, certainly we have a lot of people, as I always say, sniffing about. There's a couple of things that we're excited about. And as you have said to you many times before, Greg, that's only happening when we're, you know, standing in line for the breakfast in the morning, you know, until the trucks are concerned down the road. It's not happening. And it really can be sometimes as you know, down to the wire as that. I think that the piece that will help determine the success of you know, projects continuing to be made in the region is Section 481 and the regional lift and the regional investment. And I think that the regions have been pumping above their weight, and it's delightful to see Desiree, you know, who's the chief executive of Screen Ireland, acknowledging that and acknowledging the importance of the regions. And look, I think that's where we want to position ourselves as a player in that space, is building the talent, is building the skill, and being able to compete with the best of them.
All right, Aideen, thank you so much indeed. Aideen Doherty, manager of the Donegal Film Office. It's really interesting, isn't it, Dahi, to sort of hear of the amount of money coming in, the multiplier on that money, the films that are coming through. It's kind of like, for a lot of us, it's kind of like a hidden industry up here. We hear of road closures here and there and stuff, but you know what I mean? It's
absolutely,
it's really quite
astonishing. And I mean, I know where I live near me, in Rathmullen, they did one of those films, one of the Irish language films, and friend was telling me he ended up doing the catering on it. So, you know, the economy was getting all that, and he was like, it's great because it's a quiet time of year, you know. Mm. So it does, it's all those kind of hidden things, isn't it? I must say, I've been so impressed with Aideen and what she's done with the Film Office on limited time and resources. And I think it would be fantastic if, you know, there was more resources and time given to that.
And
I think
most
it
of the
could
times
really,
you can't really scream the success from the hilltops until after the facts.
Yeah,
because obviously there's, you know, so many.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of attraction in Donegal, you know. I mean, it's interesting that a lot of, like, the filming isn't Letterkenny. They're not coming to Donegal in a sense for modern Ireland, are they? It's that attraction of we're setting something a little bit back. Yep. So we go out into the regions and things are less...
And that was seen in the Liam Neeson film. Right. Donegal looked lovely.
Yeah.
And Donegal's
actually
nice that it looked in the film, even though it looked lovely. But I did laugh at people going, people questioning the geographical accuracy of it all. Do you know that local knowledge?
Yeah.
It was great, you know, walking in one village and going into a pub that's in another village and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's excitement of having the local knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say as well, Aideen mentioned the Bothy there, which is the... film facility, the editing facility. And during the lockdown, when we were doing shows online, we all had to skill up very quickly for that. So David from the Bothy actually did an online tutorial on video editing for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in that way, those skills are there and they're being used for films.
Yeah.
But also, it filters down. Yeah.
And I think,
you know,
too, it's about the talent. There's a lot of London-based talent and all that have to be over there or wherever they might be to make a living.
Yeah.
And the idea being that we could sustain them here.
Yeah.
Could you please read out your show? The Rotary Service rescheduled due to adverse weather conditions last weekend. The Letterkenny Rotary Club church service for the dedication of ribbons from their Christmas tree of remembrance was cancelled. Well, it'll now take place. This is the important information. It's now going to take place in Conwall Parish Church, Letterkenny, on Sunday the 28th of January. It's at 7 p.m. The service is for clergy and parishioners from all churches. Please join us to remember our loved ones, and everyone's welcome to stay for some refreshments after the service. Also, I've been asked to mention that... Colonel Claskale Ardra presents A Fish Out of Water. It's a three-act comedy by Jimmy Keary. It's in the GEA Clubhouse Ardra. It's on Friday the 26th, that's tonight, Saturday the 27th, Sunday the 28th, January 2024. It's nightly at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7:30 a.m. Tickets just €12. There's a raffle on the night. And as I say, I've said to you this before, and I hope it doesn't sound patronising, Michael, but these... some of these productions, all of them I've seen are brilliant. I'm not asking you to comment on that actual show.
No, but you're absolutely right.
Staging of them.
This is something I've said before and others have said. Like, the term amateur doesn't refer to the quality of the piece. It refers to the fact that these people are giving of their time freely. The amount of talent we have in this part of the world is extraordinary.
Absolutely.
I mean, the amount of, I concretely
I mean, it'd be really unfair to call Dahi an amateur critique, but... fundamentally,
that's true.
But it does you a disservice, Dahi.
I've no problem with the word. Amateur means love doesn't
it?
That's the root of the word. It means love. It's passion. It's a passion piece, isn't it?
Kieran Kelly's script that we did, Dramaters, that was part of the script.
Oh, so now I know that.
But yeah, I've seen so many shows that are not professional, doing air quotes here for the radio. And that they're every bit as good in many, many, many cases.
That is one of the things we identified in the theatre early on. Patricia McBride, our director, who obviously, you know, comes from a great graph for drama herself, that the talent was all here. you know, where we've been able to help people is on the production side of things.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, like Niall, our technical manager, you know, has done huge support with all the groups on lighting because he's a lighting specialist. Mm. So bringing up the understanding and knowledge of that, set design, you know, that's where we've been able to help. And help bring up the standard. But in terms of acting and directing, you know, I think Donegal's so well served. And that's something people would say all around the country.
But I do think, you know, particularly across the arts, in terms of
musicians, singers,
and even in sport, I mean, you can extend it out. And I don't want to sort of sound like we're blowing our own trumpet, but when you think of what we are in terms of population size, where we are, because we always talk about access and opportunities and stuff, but we've got leading people right across the world of sport. Musically, I mean, the musical talent, there's so many artists in Donegal that the only thing that's missing is a bit of luck.
Yeah.
Because everything else is there. I mean, there's amazing singer-songwriters that are as good as, they just didn't get the whatever it takes to get that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
in terms of acting and in terms
of... viral these days.
Yeah.
The viral video, isn't it?
It's hard to put it into place.
Yeah.
And that can work in some, like, that can work for you, and then even that sometimes is not. I'm thinking of Ellie Sherlock, who's huge. She was signed up to, and she's still doing really well, but she was signed up to Ed Sheeran's record label, and they even did some cross promotion with it, and she's doing well. But even for her, it didn't kick her over that line. She's still busking in Dublin and doing her thing that way. But.
Well, you see, I mean, the example I always give is Tanya McCall, who's an amazing singer.
Yeah.
And Tanya, you could see in the Beehive anywhere, in Ardra. Yeah, you could see her on Monday nights with... Ted Ponsby you know, here, obviously.
There's only one thing happens on a Monday night.
Sorry. So that's in McGinley's for years, it was Ted and Tanya, exactly. You know.
Yep.
And then John Prine heard her and went, well, you're amazing, come on tour with me. And he recognised, you know, but like, if I go to, and I have done, go to on holiday to England and you go in a pub and there's a guy in the corner, you're like, that's a bit duff, isn't it? It tends to be the response. You go to Donegal, you can see Tanya, you can see Declan McClafferty, you can see Tommy Callaghan, Rory Friel, you know,
my God,
without Willow, Karen Kelly, and Simon McCafferty. Like, you can see incredible artists in a pub.
Innovating, writing, the whole thing. I know exactly the point that you're making in terms of the guy in the corner. And it's not to put them down, but it's just as a bar to elevate.
It's incredible. But I see it in soccer too. I mean, if you look at, like, I'm a Finn Harps fan, but Finn Harps, Derry City have loads of Donegal lads. You know, Lochgall have loads. Loads of the northern teams, Institute, have loads of Donegal lads. And you're like, is Derry City not a big population centre? Mm. Why is everyone coming from Donegal populating all the northwest clubs?
I think what we do have in this county as well, and this is going off on a tangent a little bit, but in terms of, from a school level, in terms of acting, we've got amazing teachers that work with the students in music, the musical teachers, and a lot of the brilliant musical artists we have are actually also teaching as well.
Yeah.
In terms of athletics, you know, we have our Patsy McGonagall, and we have Eamon Harvey down the south, and there's others right across. There are fantastic people, I think, developing talent.
Yeah.
From a very young age.
Yeah, I think we punch above a weight. And a lot of it is, like, we're talking about the amateur, professional, whatever. It's the gras, isn't it? It's the love for people. Yeah, people are doing it because it's their passion. And then once in a while, we see the Amy Beth McNulty in acting go straight through.
Yeah,
we're seeing Moira and Bradley do it now. And everybody's so proud. Mm. Everybody feels that ownership of these people. Yeah. And it's lovely.
But
there was support, you know.
However it happened, and I'm so happy with the Maureen Bradley thing, is a call was made or something was seen or whatever, and that initial call for the Jules Holland gig was on. I'm not saying everything that is following would not have happened without that, but that's, a perfect example of just that. That thing that happens, that becomes the catalyst.
I think that's the zeitgeist thing. I think it is right place, right time. Mm. We're coming out of the pandemic. Everybody's looking for a bit of authenticity. Everybody's looking. And there's Mirren. It's an acoustic guitar. She has the voice. Her playing skills are incredible. And everybody's like, instead of something manufactured, instead of something presented to us, we see so much of that now. And here was just something incredibly natural.
Also, as well as that, it's kind of interesting that the music she plays has been embraced because really quite, you know, different. I mean, it's of its time.
Yes.
And it's coming back in. But it's the audience is obviously...
Well, it's 100 years. I mean, it's not...
But the audience is obviously...
Hungry for it, or they're looking for it? They're hungry, open to it.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, exactly. We've saturated with the other stuff so much.
But again, if you're living in... Well, I think if you're living here in a place, country's always been huge here. You know, and that it's all about the human experience, and the blues is about the human experience.
But then, the thing of everything old is new again. It's that things are cyclical, things come back, and to a particular audience, it might be, oh, this is so fresh to me, because they don't have the context of it all. So that can explain a lot of things.
But again, authenticity, I think, is a real thing there. Mm. She's really doing it. It's not a, pastiche or whatever. She's just doing it.
The real thing.
But I do think that human experience, the blues, country, will always have that.
I'm very interested to see what's...
If she was a rich kid, you look at... what was the film recently? The Saltburn.
Mm.
The rich people... If she was coming from a very rich background, I don't think people would have taken to her in that way.
Yeah, and also I think the greatest successes we see now is when it is organic, to some extent. Now, I say organic, obviously you need the right phone call, but that it's something to be discovered, something, look what I... And then people get ownership and that helps and all that kind of stuff as well. Interesting, just like you talk about country being big and the country scene. I'm really fascinated to see where that goes next or what comes behind that. Do you know, we had, the show bands and then country comes behind that. And I'm really interested to see for the masses what actually is going to come behind country. I'm not saying it's a sunset genre, right? But if you look at where the big guys can gig the numbers they can gig to, I'm really fascinated to see what comes behind that.
It's already happening. It's folk. It's vocal folk. We see it with Honor, for example. Obviously, the High Kings were out there before them. Yeah. It is folk.
You take someone
like Derek Ryan. He put two folk songs on his last album. Mm-hmm. And he's, he's clued in, Derek Ryan.
It's not folk, but you can throw them into the next generation.
But it is, it is that kind of experience. And we saw that in England. I remember 10, 15 years ago seeing, the Unthanks and people like that from England and saying, where's the Irish version of this? Mm. Why are we not revisiting our folk experience? And again, it's about authenticity. Lancome, obviously, are massive. Mm. And I mean, we've tried week on, you'll have Scullion, who are obviously, on Sunday night in the RCC. And we're, who were pioneers of that. And there's a resurgence of interest in Scullion. There's a resurgence of interest in Planxty.
And also we have a very...
So that's where I think the numbers are going.
And I think the success often comes to, Michael, when it's multi-generational. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
because
yeah,
if you go to an Anor concert, you will see teens or whatever.
Crossover,
if you go to Whistling Donkeys, they've got a bit... Now, I'm not grouping Whistling Donkeys in Anor, but we need a group of acts in different genres that are coming through to fill the pubs and clubs.
They're probably the middle point towards the Mary Wallopers between those two, probably, who we saw on Jewels, and they're a good time band, taking that Pogues kind of mantle, I guess, in some ways, But I mean, if you think of someone like the Dubliners, they could do the ballads, but they could do the thing the Mary Wallopers
are. And I'd mention too, obviously, for the Sea Session, the Seeger Sessions thingamajiggy.
Yes, great band,
Again, really good. Filling places around. Is this where we're going? I'm not saying there weren't always there, these types of stuff, but...
I think the roots folk area.
We are inevitably going to go through some sort of transition.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course, and people will embrace, it's exactly what you're saying, the idea that, there'll always be an audience for all different genres, but then some things get embraced by a much larger audience. This zeitgeist thing happens where people embrace it. And I suppose, from what you're saying, the time is ripe and the tide is turning.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, and maybe somebody out there tell me, but how many people have Honour played to in the last year? I mean, it's huge. Serious numbers, and they went straight up. Again, the viral moment.
Yeah.
Exactly. But again, it was just voices, wasn't it?
But also, there's levels.
And they're
at a level. But then again, listen, I think there's great things. I think there's great things happening. I think there is a bit of a shift. I'm not saying anything's dying a death, don't get me wrong, I think there's a... Sometimes you wonder, well, what's next? Which was the basis of my question, and I think we're starting to see what's next. Yeah.
And even I think that's
Chasing Abbey,
if something goes in... Oh, yeah, Chasing Abbey,
who are
in Letterkenny
genres.
This week, aren't they?
They're massive.
In Sonny McSwine's, I think, this week in Letterkenny. But if something comes into fashion, it has to drop a bit. Skinny jeans. you know, jeans are going back out again. Things have to go.
I've seen some big baggy jeans lately.
I know. Massive. Do you know what? I had them in the early
90s. I took mine out last year. I had them.
Oh, you get good money for them now. But if you remember, they hang over your shoes and they soak up water. Yep. They weigh.
That's part of the look. That's
they
all
weigh
right.
about 4 ton. You wonder why young people are walking around with their head down. They can't actually physically lift it because of the weight. You know, it's quite something.
High waistbands, yeah. Yeah. Baggy jeans. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. As I said, we can talk about anything on this show from style advice from Dahi.
Yeah, fashion.
Always there.
If we're moving into fashion, it's time for me to go and get a glass of water. I'll let you chat about fashion.
I think
I'll
the people watching on the camera will be impressed.
Your Columbo jacket will eventually come back into fashion. All right, back after these. We are joined in studio now by... I'll allow you to introduce yourselves. Okay, so we'll go from left to right. What's your name, please?
My name's Alice.
Alice O'Connor.
I'm Sive,
lovely to have you in.
I'm Sheena.
Sheena, great to be great to have you in here as well. Sheena McHugh, is it McCade?
Nihay.
I was told that was Hughes in Irish when I was at national school. So I don't know. I was told a lot of lies. Algebra was going to be useful. I was told that too. And Katie Cole's with us as well. Katie, you are part of Danu Young Women's Choir, but as a quartet?
Quartet, yeah.
Quartet. What name do you go under?
So we are Cialtari Canola, yeah. So which means in Irish, the singers of the goddess Canola, who's the goddess of ancient music. So...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, we appreciate you coming out of school, but it's just to really celebrate. We're going to hear from you performing live as well. But you're barbershop quartet.
Yes.
Is that correct? So talk to me, what distinguishes you from a non-barbershop quartet?
So basically, barbershop is something that originated in America and it's kind of not really a thing in Ireland as much, but we're hoping to bring it about as much as we can. Basically, it's four-part harmony, which consists of tenor, which is Alice, lead, which is Sive, Sheena, which is bass, and I'm the baritone. So basically, it's just really cool, four-part harmony, singing together with loads of chords and...
Now, my recollection of that would have been like four fellas, you know, red and white striped shirts,
moustaches
and hats on. Yeah, so you are really mixing it up a little bit, I think it's suffice to say. Right, so you, it was kind of a mishmash of different people, I think, that came up in Christmas, but ultimately you four went to New York to take part in a competition.
We did. So the Barbershop Harmony Society held their midwinter convention there in January. And so we were lucky enough, thankfully, thanks to Douglas Cairns, shout out to you, we love you. he brought us over to America. That was this goal from the start whenever the choir started. And so we were lucky enough that we got to compete in the quartet competition.
And
as
what
well.
Kind of other quartets were there? Were all different backgrounds, different ages?
Well, we were in the junior quartet competition, so it was under 18. Mm. But it was people from all over the world, essentially.
Was that intimidating or like, does our stuff carry here? And are we good enough or are we doing it right?
Oh, yeah.
I know you've full confidence in your training and stuff, but you would start a bit of, not self-doubt. Yeah. But
well, especially because like they would have loads of things going around, like they'd have four or five conventions a year and stuff. Yeah. And this was kind of our first big one. We went to IABS and that's kind of how we qualified, but this would have been our first kind of big one, so we made loads of friends.
Yeah.
That like it wasn't kind of a standoffish kind of a rivalry or anything. We made so many friends, but it's kind of different how much like more opportunities
experience,
for barbershop there is over there.
But in those trips you grow as a person, you know. You come back and something's changed,
100%.
Or your prescription, your aspects have been brought. What did you wear? You know, I'd be asking.
So we
not
have
straw hats.
Damn it.
So there were them suits. Yeah. So we have these green dresses because we had to rep the Irish in us whenever we were going to America.
Yeah.
So
the Americans went crazy.
Yeah.
The Irish girls are wearing green.
So you have little green dresses. And
but I suppose it was quite the it would have been quite the view, isn't it? You know, four girls over from Northwest Ireland in the green.
Yeah.
Doing this type of music, it's like, impactful. Like you can see why it'd be done.
Even we were walking out, and we were just being introduced. So every kind of quartet gets introduced or whatever, and they didn't even get to say our name because they were like, "And all the way from Ireland," and then the entire every single person like stood up. It was crazy.
There was a study or an article out this week that says women's Irish names the most difficult in the world to pronounce? How did you get on? How did you get on with that?
Yeah, that was fun.
I had a game because we all had like lanyards with our names on them, and my name is Siv Branagh, and I was going.
Give us some of the attempts.
Siv.
I think they did all right with Siv. But go on.
Sarah.
Sada. These are all nice names.
You get the Sada
Baha
once in a year.
Okay, right. Alice and Katie, you are all right. Anyway, there's
a sign over here.
Right. So what we'll do is, if you don't mind, we'll hear you perform.
Yeah.
Really do appreciate it. I want to chat a wee bit afterwards just about your experience of getting around to see stuff and all that, if that's okay. So this is Kaeltori Canola, and you're going to sing Show Me Where the Good Times Are.
Yeah.
All right, can we have a note for Katie, please?
Of course. Can't prepare this time.
Kick the dust up high and let the feathers fly. Show me where the good times are. Show me where the good times are. That's where I wanna be. Come on and show me where the good times are, and have a drink on me. Come on and sparkle like a chandelier. Treat yourself to a dime cigar. Shine up that rhinestone pin, tuck in that double chin. Show me where the good times are. Bad times, you got your troubles. So what, big shot, just stand in line. Laugh now, dance now, life is a bubble. Don't stick a pin in mine. Come on and take me where the lights are bright, where the music is wunderbar. Get out that watch and chain, that derby hat and cane. Show me where the good times are. Bad times, trailing behind me. Making do and doing without. Try to find me. This is my big night out. Come on and put that razzle. Kick the dust up high and let the feathers fly. Show me where the good times ever lie.
I don't know who was making what noise,
but it all
is it. Is it a good sign? Yeah. Like it really, because it's omnidirectional. It had no clue really, but works. Technically, that's very difficult.
Yes,
because you're all. I mean, you know it, but there's no beat or what have you. You have to all be in sync at so many different points over the course of that 3 or 4 minutes.
Like we had to practice so much that we like at. When we first got the song, we were all singing, coming in different times, and like we were off key, and you know that kind of thing.
But there's a collective pressure and an individual pressure.
Absolutely,
not to cop it up,
so
isn't
much.
There?
Yeah, for sure. But I think because we practice so much and we're together so much that we all just kind of like blended in together.
Lock and ring. Barbershop terms.
And let me ask, are you feeling any sort of affinity with Maureen Bradley at the moment? In that, you know, young people, sort of maybe a genre that's not necessarily associated with your age, you know, bit of success. Do you get where
it's
I'm coming
really
from?
It's not really associated with many people in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, we went to the IABS convention, which is the Irish Association of Barbershop Singers. They had their own convention in Killarney a while ago. And it's so much smaller than the other conventions that happen in America because it's just not as widespread in Ireland yet.
But I just think it's really interesting.
That, coming over.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that we sort of have in our part of the world, and we were talking about the talent earlier on, just, you know, used as a collective and like Maureen, sort of pushing barriers, albeit from a different era. You know, it's not reinventing it or whatever, but still. Listen, fantastic stuff. Thanks so very much indeed. What now? Is there a next date, a next target, or...?
We have so many things coming up that
we... losing track of it all.
We are... None of it's confirmed yet, but we're talking about loads of things. So there's BABS in May, which is the British Association of Barbershop Singers. So that's like the English version of IABS. So that's another thing. And we get to mic warm at that, which basically means that we're not in the competition, but we get to like kind of showcase before the competition starts.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a really cool opportunity.
It's a great honour.
We're really lucky that we got to do that because that's something that you have to... People who do mic warming are like the really,
have
really
to be good
people.
I get you. So, but in terms of the harmonies, you know, I mean, this is transferable to different genres of music as well and what have you, and we're seeing that's blowing. I mean, do you even think about that? Do you think this is something that beyond the sort of barbershop quartet that you could... Obviously, you have to get on quite well because you spend so much time together.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's one of the things. Like, you can have a good quartet with people who, like, tolerate each other and who sing well.
This is literally, the production team at Highland Radio.
Don't say that on the radio, Sheena. Come on.
But to actually be, to, like, progress and to get better, you have to know the people and love
bit
the people.
Bit more to it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a bond.
There's a trust kind of going on with knowing each other so well and it's all a difference.
We're lucky enough we have that.
And the experiences you've had in New York, get a chance to go around New York, love it. I haven't had that opportunity yet. That's something I want to do.
You can come with us.
I can, but is there such thing as a five tet? I don't know how we'd do it. No, I couldn't even dream of
you
doing
can
what
you... blow the pitch pipe.
Exactly. I can. What's that thing you blow? I could do...
pipe.
Oh, is that what it is? Right. Okay, listen. the four of you, thank you so very much. It's great for your schools and used as a collective, and your families, I'm sure, are dead proud. Thank you so much. It's been lovely having you in, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Okay, that's where we have to leave it. Thanks to Michael. Thanks to Dahi. We're gone. We're out. We're back Monday morning at 9. Have a wonderful day. Take care of yourself. John Breslin's next.